The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Can you imagine a world where everyone knows they can make a difference? What if controversy is your ticket to success and new possibilities, to being a leader in creating a different reality? Do you have the courage to create something greater than has ever existed before? This is The Value of Controversy, presented by facilitators of Access Consciousness. Join us now for the tools, techniques, and awareness you need to create a world that you would be grateful to live in. Now, here are your hosts.
Hello, everybody listening, and welcome to The Value of Controversy. My name is Susana Mitamaya, and I'm an Access Consciousness facilitator and a clinical psychologist, and I'm here today with my phenomenal co-host, Anne Maxwell. Hi, Anne.
Hi, Susana.
Hello.
Hello.
And brilliant Marilyn Bradford. Hi, hey. Marilyn.
Hi.
And it's so funny because we are three Access Consciousness facilitators and also three therapists. So I wonder what we can have fun and create today on this show. And what kind of topic do we have? Yes, let me see here. Our topic today is, are you surviving when you'd rather be thriving? And I would like to invite all of you listening to actually call us. You can join us live on the show by dialing 001-888-346-9141. And one more time, 001-888-346-9141. And call us. I mean, you have the chance to talk to us and ask your questions and join us live, because, you know, every question you ask is such a contribution. I always say that to people. Every question opens up for new possibilities. Every answer closes and disempowers. So, you know, what if your question could not only be a contribution to you, but also to everybody listening? And the topic today, are you surviving when you'd rather be thriving, is such a great one, because how much energy and time are you guys listening, using day in, out, making sure that you survive rather than thrive? And what if we could explore some different possibilities during the show today, and we have some cool processes for you too, to open up the door to more thriving? And I wonder, are you willing to have that? Are you willing to have way more thriving in your life rather than just surviving? It's that time to change now. So Marilyn, Anne, you know, what do you know about, you know, what do we all know about surviving and thriving and different possibilities about that? What's, you know, coming up for you guys?
You know, I met with a 14-year-old girl yesterday who's been depressed for a while, and she's really brilliant. She's sparkly, and underneath the sort of the lidded, the hooded eyes and the kind of flat affect and all of that, I asked her, and she has a really sparkly 2-year-old sister who was in the room with her last time. And she was different when she was with a little girl. And I asked her when it was that she gave up. Oh, the other thing she said was that she was really comfortable. She's more comfortable around little kids and around animals. She wants to be a veterinarian. And, right? And I asked her when it was that she gave up being like that being that her sister is, that sparkliness. And she looked at me and she said, you know, I think I was, I can't remember, like maybe kindergarten or first grade. And I thought, right. So, what if that's one of the, what if you shift from sparkliness into almost like a survival mode to like get it right in school and be able to get all the right answers and do it the way you're supposed to do and not the way you would really like to do it. And it just, it's almost like over time there's this sort of steady pounding that happens on you. And nobody talks about that, about what we're talking about right now out there, because it just flies in the face of all the training that we've gotten. And somehow if you get the right answer and you do things the right way, that everything's going to turn out all right. I just remember seeing a posting on Facebook the other day of hard work pays off. You know, I'm thinking, oh, my God. Right? What if that's actually not true? What if it could be so easy? What if? And so I asked her, what would it take for you to tap back into that sparkliness? And you could just see her body begin to relax a little bit. And I'm not sure that she actually chose it, but there's like an opening there for her to step into if she would like to do that.
Well, that is so cool, Anne. And, you know, I see that. I see mostly older people, teenagers and adults. And by that time, many of them, you know, depression, anxiety, bipolar, many of them are already so down in the survival mode. Thrival isn't even a possibility. They want to get to, it's like they want to climb out of the pit just to get to be able to rest rather than keep every day. It's just, a feat for them to sort of even stay alive. And it's that, I think, you know, you were talking about that pounding.
Right.
And that is so much what I see with these people. It's like they've been told in one way or another, they're too curious, they're too this, they're too that, you know, cut it down. And in traditional psychotherapy, you know, we're told that they should be medicated and they should do behavioral therapy or this or that. I never found that worked all that well. But
wow.
When you actually empower people to do essentially what you're talking about, I tend to do it a little bit differently, but to go back and collect those parts of themselves that they decided were unacceptable, no matter how outrageous it is. You know, you want to dance naked on the street? You want to run around New York barefooted and, you know, high-fiving everybody? Whatever it is, and it doesn't have to be, you know, that crazy, but just those impulses to be alive, I think that's what gets pounded out of people. Let's live. Let's actually live. Let's not just go from one thing to the next thing, and it's so boring.
Right. Well, the whole idea that you have to climb out of the hole, what if you can just, like magic wand yourself out of the hole?
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's no
climbing.
And it's so cool because all of us three ladies are, you know, as I mentioned, therapists, and you mentioned, like, hard work. I mean, none of us is interested in hard work. And I noticed this as a therapist, too. I mean, doing therapy in a traditional way, it's like, oh, my God, I can't do it. I get so bored, you know, like following people through the wrongness and analyzing stuff and trying to understand. It never takes you anywhere. It just, you know, keeps you stuck in that wrongness and those labels that people are so, you know, entrained to. And I, you know, when I started, I'm like, I can't do this. I'm getting so bored. I need to change this. So for me, that was, you know, doing therapy in the traditional way for me was like really just surviving and trying to do it like everybody else, like trying to survive as a therapist. And
right.
Whatever profession you have, I mean, you don't have to be a therapist for that, you know, your bus driver or your teacher or your parent. You know, we always try to do it in the standard operating procedure way. And how boring is that when you just, you know, try to do this? And many people come to the point where, like, I want to quit my job, or I don't even want to go there when I wake up in the morning. And I know I had that. I was like, this has to change. Either my way of doing psychology and psychotherapy changes, or I'm looking for a different profession because that is not working for me. Like, so, and then denying those tools of access consciousness and what I do now, you know, creating this thing I call pragmatic psychology, you know, this is so fun because it really creates havoc in people's lives. And it's so much fun because it's where it starts to get thriving from the point of, it's not about the wrongness of people anymore, but it's about looking for, you know, how much living is possible for all of us. And doing therapy and living is just a totally different platform, a totally different possibility.
Awesome.
And I know you guys are, you know, you're doing your therapy work in a totally different way too, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, yesterday I did a phone session with a woman. With an eating, she had what she called an eating disorder, and I didn't used to work with those as a therapist because the results were so dismal. And one of the things that I found, and I worked with her on this, is that most eating disorders, past life involvement of somehow, and we went back a couple of lives, she cleared some stuff, and she said, you know what? That has changed everything. I just don't even feel the need to go towards food as the comfort or the punishment that I was using it for. Mm-hmm. So you have to go beyond what this reality says. It's the causes of these things and the traditional treatments, or I find you don't really get anywhere, or you get it so slow, like you said, Susanna.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I become a headbanger. It gets so
right,
slow.
Exactly.
So
now that we're sharing stories, so I want to share one more story.
go for it.
So I had this little guy. He just turned 6. He's absolutely awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome little boy. And we've been playing maybe like once a month. His mom brings him in, and his mom and dad are locked in Mortal Kombat over everything. For God knows, just everything. And the dad is really difficult. And in fact, he's so difficult that every judge in front of whom he appears always rules in favor of the mom because he refuses to negotiate. He's angry all the time. He's belligerent, ballistic, and all that stuff. So mom has sole decision-making about the boys. So what that means is that she gets to decide everything, where they go to school, what kind of activities they're involved in, like that kind of stuff. And dad gets pretty minimal parenting time, and he's really angry. So that's the background. So this little guy comes in, and he sits in a chair, and he instead of going right to the toys, he looks at me, and he's sort of white, kind of ghost-like, and his little legs are dangling on the chair, swinging underneath the chair, and he says to me, I said, so what's up? And he said, well, my dad isn't as nice to me as he used to be. And I said, oh, huh, what's that, I wonder? And he said, well, he tells me to do stuff, and then he yells at me when I do it. And I said, oh, and what he was doing was so the rest of the story is I asked him some more questions, like, is your dad really angry a lot? And he said, yeah. And I said, is he an angry man? And he said, yeah. And I said, does he get angry at people other than you? And he said, yeah. And I said, so what if the next time your dad starts getting really, really, really mad, you can just say to yourself, oh, there he goes again. That's my dad. Because I said, what if your dad's anger has nothing to do with you?
Cool.
One thing. And the thing that it shifted him totally, started to giggle. His body lightened up and he started to giggle. And I just think that one of the things that traditionally gets done to kids who have abusive parents like that is that they get made victims and the parents get made perpetrators. And then the kids get stuck. And so then they end up coming with being a victim and not having a voice and flying under the radar and being pathetic and all of that kind of stuff. And they sort of take on the role and the mantle of being a victim. And then they live their life like that, right? And I thought, you know, at the age of 5 or 6, if I'd been given these kinds of tools, oh, my God, how cool would that be, right? And what if kids, what if even babies, kids, little huge beings stuffed into little bodies can tap into what we're talking about, which is the energy of being and being who they are, regardless of what's going on around them, and giving themselves permission to tap into it and to trust it and to know that they're fine, right? Regardless of what happens around them. And I just think, you know, of these stories that we're telling, and talk about being outside the box. The three of us are about as far outside as you can get, right?
We're bad. We're bad ladies, right?
Right?
I mean, hello.
Hey, we do what works, not what we're told we're supposed to do.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's not just surviving.
And so I wasn't speaking to him cognitively. That's what so many people don't get. And Marilyn, you weren't, and Susanna, you aren't. That's not what we do. It's like we ask questions so that the people who we ask the questions to can tap into the energy of what it is that's being created by the choices that they're making, and then choose something different, right? And it's just awesome.
It's not just by, because I could do my job as everybody, like as a normal psychotherapist, and I just don't. And it's not about perpetrating, like, oh, I'm doing my job in a different way. It's not like going out there and putting it into people's faces, because that just creates, defense and people put their barriers up. It's really just for you, just for fun, never tell anyone,
right,
and just go for it and have fun, and just, instead of doing it the way you're supposed to do it, and I'm really talking about all kinds of professional groups, like really whatever your job is, you guys listening, instead of just
going to the conclusion, I have to do my job the way that I've been told, ask questions like, okay, so what would be fun for me here? How can I use this as a source of joy? For example, I've been, you know, one of the things that was part of my job description or is part of my job descriptions is doing neuropsychological testing, which is, you know, for me, as a very creative being, it's extremely boring because it's basically where I have to do tests on people to find out whether they have whatever label
what's
the doctor asked me to find out. Yeah, what's wrong with them? And that's
wrong with
not
you?
Very creative, you know? So, and
what's right about you? Nobody asked that.
Nobody asked that. So they're like, hey, do you have ADHD? You know, are you mentally disabled? And I'm like, hello, you know? Can we have a little more fun? But anyway, but it's part of my job. So I was like, okay, so if I want to keep this job, does it work for me to do this part of my job? And if yes, can I make it work for me? And I got a yes. So I'm like, so how can I make this work for me? How can I have more fun with doing that part of a job? Number one, yes, I can get rid of my point of view that it's boring. So I just used, you know, the thing we used on a show here a couple of times. So everywhere I've decided that this part of my job is boring and I just want to go home and throw up and puke on it, I just pot and pock it. You know, right, wrong, good, bad, pot, pock, all nine shorts, boys and yuns. Because your point of view creates your reality. So first I just let go of that. And then the second thing was I ask a question. So what are the possibilities for this to make it work for me, to make this fun? And first I really had the point of view, you know, this part is so boring. I just cannot make this fun. This cannot possibly be fun. And then every time I had that point of view coming up, I just pot and pocked it out of existence. And then I really asked those questions. So how can I use it as a source of joy? How can I make this work for me? And that opened really the door to me receiving that part of my work in a totally different way. And it showed up, like, for example, I had clients who showed up for this neuropsychological testing stuff. And they were so fun and creative to work with. And I found ways of doing it that actually makes it work for me. It's more play now. And so this is something you all guys can use as, you know, whatever work you do, like pot and pock, like use those tools, pot and pock every point of view out of existence that you know, stands in your way of receiving the fun, whatever job that is, where you go out of survival mode and into thrival mode. How about that?
You can actually have fun doing whatever it is that you do.
No, it's terrible.
That sounds
good. How awesome is that?
It's ridiculous. And, you know, I do a lot of work with addiction, and we always laugh, and it's like, addiction is really funny if you can get into it. And all the insane too. But people want to make this so serious. You have to see what's wrong, and you have to work hard on what's wrong. No, you don't. You have to look at what's right, or at least it's helpful to look at what's right, and see what else you could choose. You know, instead of going backwards, it's so much about going forwards. And like you said, going forward with joy. And when you were mentioning the whole victim thing, that is huge. Mm. If people could get, if you label yourself as a victim, you might as well just bury your head in the sand and call it quits.
Yeah.
I mean, truly. You can never thrive from that position.
No.
You can only, at best, do survival. And people think, well, but I am a victim. I'm terribly hard and abused. And I'm like, well, are you willing to look at that and change that? And maybe we can talk a little bit more about what people can do to get out of that victim mode, because that is the kiss of death. I don't care what abuse you've suffered. If you're still in that mode, you're not going to have a good life. You're just not.
Yeah.
You know?
You mean you actually create your own life and you don't have to blame everybody for where you are? Oh, my goodness. You guys.
That's crazy.
Right.
So let's run a little process. So what stupidity are you using to create the survival you are choosing? Oof. And let's run it on all you guys listening. So everything that is, can we please just turn and create it?
Yes. Right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pot, pock, shorts, boys, and beyonds. I'll be your pot pocker, Susanna.
Yes, and let's do it one more time. So what stupidity are you all using to create the survival you are choosing?
And wow, everything that
is. Godzillion, will you destroy it and create it?
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad, all nine pod talk shorts, boys and beyond.
Hey, I just want to say I like the y'all in there. You know, Suzanne, you think you're moving to Texas with the rest of us?
Yeah, isn't that cool? I lived in Texas when I was 16 for half a year, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm doing this. I can still do that. It's many years ago, but let's do it one more time.
Man,
so,
awesome.
What's the pity are you all using?
Oh, y'all.
The survival you're choosing.
And everything that is, times a gazillion, can we just try to create it?
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad, online, podpack, shorts, boys, and beyond.
Cool. Awesome. Guys, let's break and let's go to more survival after that.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Want to know what the best-kept secret in Access Consciousness is? It's the Access Gold Club. Demanding more change and the latest and greatest, but can't always get to all the classes you desire? Let Gary and Dane come to you. Join the Gold Club, and each month you'll receive a 60-minute live call, a weekly email on the month's theme containing the latest clearings in written form, and an MP3 loop. Twice a month, receive a brand new video with Gary and Dane. How does it get any better than this? In addition to receiving a CD format of the monthly call mailed to you, you'll also enjoy a surprise bonus gift. Be in on the secret. Join today at www.isnowthetime.com/special-tips.
Hi, this is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. I'd like to talk to you a moment about hedonism, the pursuit of pleasure, one of the most judgeable offenses on planet Earth. Ever notice? How often do you allow yourself to choose something for the pure pleasure and joy of it, without judgment? How often do you choose to live your life from the adventure of what could show up, rather than the conclusion of what you or someone else decided it should be? What if every day you could wake up and ask, if I were truly living today, what would I choose right away? Join me for a 6-part teleclass series called 69 Shades of Hedonism. We'll unwrap the beauty and adventure of hedonistic living together. Are you ready to play? Oh, and a warning, if you'd rather feel dry and brittle rather than abundant and juicy and joyful, you should definitely refrain from signing up for this particular series. Participants may experience an increased level of pleasure in all areas of life. Are you willing to risk that? If so, go to drdanehere.com/teleclasses. drdanehere.com/teleclasses and find out more. See you there.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to The Value of Controversy. We invite you to participate in our program today. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to radio@thevalueofcontroversy.com. Now, back to The Value of Controversy.
Hello, everybody listening, and welcome to The Value of Conti. And here is Susanna Mittermeier, and I'm here with my super co-hosts, Marilyn Bradford and Anne Maxwell. And today's topic is, are you surviving when you'd rather be thriving? And we've been talking a lot about, you know, like all the different ways you're trying to survive. And we've been going into different labels and how people are using the wrongness to put themselves into a box to trying to making sure they survive and fit in rather than going beyond that box and thrive and create their realities. And I would like to invite you also to join us live on the show and call in using the number 001-888-346-9141. And I'm going to repeat it one more time. It's 001-888-346-9141. And join us live and ask your question. What contribution could that be to the world?
So Marilyn and Anne, what else is possible with creating more freedom for everybody listening to move out of survival and go into thrival?
Well, one of the things, when you were talking about survival, I realized that a lot of people think of survival as just like not having enough food or not having enough money or just barely getting by, and that is one form of survival. But really, from a true survival thrival point, survival is anywhere you, for me anyway, anywhere you are trying to fit yourself into this reality, or really just, it's like the matrix. If you're part of the matrix, I don't care if you have $1 million, in a way you are still in survival mode, because survival
yeah.
mode is about being part of the species, sort of. It's not ever about going beyond that what everybody else has decided is impossible. It's never about going into what you know and knowing that no matter how different it is. So to me, that's one of the biggest differences. Survival is when you're trying to adapt to this reality. And I'm not saying you don't do what's required here, but it's taking that as all there is.
Or, yeah.
And taking that really seriously and diminishing yourself and contracting yourself down to be the right kind of dad or the right kind of mom or, you know, whatever it is, rather than following what you know to be true and actually going beyond the matrix.
Yeah, it's really every time when it doesn't create more than you have created before. Like, for example, when you just, you know, hop from bill to bill, like creating your money situation is contractive energy of, oh, I'm just going to, you know, make enough money to pay my bill. And then I'm like, oh, I reached the target. I'm done. Okay. And then you start over every time, you know, you paid your bills, you decide I'm done. And then you have to start over with creating again from the beginning because you've decided you're done.
And
so
what makes
everything is, yeah. So I just, you know, just clear that everything that is, can we please destroy and uncreate it?
Yes.
Thank you.
Right and
right,
wrong,
good and bad.
Pot and pock, all nine shorts, boys in the end. Sorry, sleep at the
I way. Love the simultaneous pot and pocking. How does it get any better?
Instead
of the Pied Piper, we're going to have a Pod Pucker file and get everyone just to follow us around the world as the
there
Pod Pucker.
Awesome.
That
go.
Is so cool.
Yeah. So another, isn't it almost like another element of survival is, I don't know how else, I don't know what to do. Friends of mine, clients, family members, there's so many people that find themselves doing things for no good reason. They just do them because they've always done them. And it's almost like if they could just do them a little better, a little harder, maybe next time they would all work out. And it's almost like those automatic pilot systems that we've talked about maybe on other shows as well. But,
yeah.
But I wonder if surviving isn't living a lot based on the automatic pilot systems. You do it because your mom did it, because her mom did it, because her mom did it, or you do it because
yeah.
that's what everybody else's parents are doing with their kids, so that's what you do with your kids, or you do it because that's what the teacher told you your child needs, rather than trusting your own knowing about what's actually going to work for him. Like, And so what if survival is stepping beyond that and stepping into knowing what you know, even if it flies like totally in the face of what other people say. So I had a 5-year-old who, as it turns out, doesn't need a lot of sleep, and his parents would get into these bloody drawn out fights at night that would go on for 3 or 4 hours, and everybody would go to bed exhausted and crying and wake up hungover the next day from all the emotional output the night before. And I said to the parents, is he tired when he wakes up after 5 or 6 hours of sleep? And they said no. And I said, well, what if you put him, he's 5, right? What if you put him in charge of his bedtime? And they looked at me like I was nuts, right? And so long story short is they do that, right? They have cuddles, they have bedtime, they do all this stuff. And then they go to bed and they go to sleep. And he gets to stay up. He can't run around the house. I mean, that's a deal. He's in his room. But and it's not perfect. Some mornings they get up and there's Cheerios all over the kitchen floor, you know? But what if one of the ways of thriving is to trust what you know, and to empower your kids to know what they know and to trust what they know works for them and is right for them, right? Like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
So it's like survival. It's like every time you use a past reference point to create something like, oh, this is how I did it last time. This is how it worked last time. It's like, for example, when you have sex, and you use like past reference point, like, oh, this is what worked last time. Oh, I touched him there last time. It really worked for him. And then you try to replicate that and do it again. I mean, how well does that work? You know, always trying to go back instead of being present and, you know, create from whatever is required now. It's basically every time when you go out of the question and use old reference point as the answer to make sure that because it worked last time, it's supposedly also working the next time.
Right.
But it's never creating anything different. And it's also, you know, how can you know the difference between survival and thrival? Well, it's basically when you're, you know, like use sex for instance, like how many times have you done that where you have had sex with one person and then you got together again because you've decided, well, the first time it was really, really yummy. It was so amazing. And then, you know, you get together again and you're like, well, where was that, you know, amazing yumminess that was there the first time? Well, you just created your sex from a conclusion because it was good last time. It's supposedly good this time.
Right.
And then you wonder why you wake up in the morning, you know, feel like run over by a Mack truck.
Right.
Well, you didn't ask a question.
Right.
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 And the same, you know, that's the same thing with therapy. I mean, you're supposed to apply these theories and you do and then you do that step. And it, like, I remember in Costa Rica, I was down there and I had someone asked to do a private session for, she wanted to quit smoking. And we were in one room and it was kind of crowded and there were people around. And she's like, I said, let's just go outside. It was kind of raining. And she said, oh God, I feel so nervous. I said, well, why don't you have a cigarette? She was like, you're telling me to have a cigarette? You think that's okay when I ask smoking? I'm like, you want a cigarette right now? She said, God, I want a cigarette right now. I'm like, cool. Bring your cigarettes. So she smoked one, and the more we talked, the more she was like, you know, part of why I smoke is to be a bad girl, and you just made it okay for me to smoke, and I don't really need to do that anymore.
That's just, so cool.
Yeah.
You know, I had just asked a question rather than going, well, this is how you get people to quit smoking. You do this 16 steps. I just said, okay, you know, what contribution can I be here? And what's it going to take for me to shift, help her to actually shift this energy? And that's when the thing came up of, yeah, I'll tell her to have a cigarette.
Awesome.
So that willingness, just like you were talking, both of you were talking about, to go beyond what's normally accepted is what also allows all of us to go into more of a thrival, which is that, you know, it's, you were talking about sex, Susanna, and that sexualness energy, that hot, juicy, yummy, all that energy, yeah, you know, that's exactly what thrival is, when you're willing to step into that energy and go beyond last year's programming or whatever.
Same procedures every year. And I love how you know, how I talk about sex and you compare it to therapy. That is so funny. That's
so
hilarious,
funny.
Marilyn.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So let's run this one. What bastardization of total thrival are you using to create this or you are choosing?
And everything that is
anybody
kind of got to destroy and create it?
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Good, bad, online, pod, talk, shorts, boys, and beyond.
And then again, Susanna, could you cut out a bit?
Yes, one more time. So what bastardization of total thrival are you using to create the survival you are choosing?
Cool.
And everything that is times a godzillion, can we destroy and uncreate it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
oh,
wrong,
yeah.
Good, bad, online, pod, talk, shorts, boys, and beyond.
So bastardization is...
Oops, we're losing her.
Are you there?
Hello?
Susanna?
Yes.
Hello, Earth to Italy?
Yes.
Earth to Italy. You want to do bastardization
Hello?
One more time?
Hello?
Hi.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yes, I'm in Italy. I'm in a hotel room in Italy. I just, you know, went to really, you know, really... cool class, and I hope you can hear me now. Is it okay?
We can hear you now.
All right. Yeah. So I just talked about bastardization because I heard people, you know, like, oh, what is bastardization? It's not bastard, you know. I'm not calling you guys bastards. It's bastardization, which means that you're twisting something from what it is into something that it is not. So you're taking it from its origin and making it something that it's not. So you're taking your capacity of thrival and creating your life and having this juicy, sexual, generative, expansive energy that's so natural to you and your body, and you take it and twist it into this survival, because that is what we've learned in this reality. Nobody really tells us that there is a possibility for us to thrive. All we have learned is this surviving mode. Get by, do what's right, make sure you survive, get enough money, get the right man, get the right house, whatever it is, to survive.
Yeah. There's a, and somehow that in thriving that you succeed, quote unquote, based on other people's points of view and based on what this reality tells you is a success.
Surviving, yeah.
That's right.
Right.
That
yeah.
somehow, yeah, that somehow thriving is disguised as that when it's actually not that at all, right?
Uh-huh,
and,
yeah.
And thriving yeah. is really the capacity to be, like, another way to think about it is to be totally present, right?
Mm-hmm.
With no reference points, just like you were talking about. It's like, wow, how cool is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and ask so the question.
Let's run that baby again. So what bastardization of total thrival are you using to create the survival you are choosing?
And everything that is times a gazillion, can we destroy and create it all?
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad, online, pod talk, shorts, boys, and beyond. Awesome. So literally, in what ways do you twist yourself into mm-hmm. thinking that you're thriving when you're actually tying yourself back down and holding yourself back in another form of survival, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, I don't think most people have an idea, and some people have never even had an experience of what the energy of thriving actually is. You know?
So it's true, crazy. True.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. So go ahead.
Yes, Anne. No, Anne, go for it.
So I have a kitty that loves to lay in the sun, right? And
right.
She's like a magnet. The sun is like a magnet to her. And she'll move, like, down the bed or across the couch to, like, be in the sun. And she stretches and she lays on her back and wiggles, or, like, out in the yard, she chases her tail, or, like, animals really, they thrive.
Yeah.
Regardless of what's going on around them, the birds do. We've got lots of wildlife in the backyard. Like, they all thrive. Babies do a lot. Little kids do a lot, right? Mm-hmm. It's just being so happy just the way things are. Everything is just fine. Like, in this moment, everything is perfect.
Well, and that's like, you know, you're talking about the birds. And, you know, I think I may have told this story on another show, but when I was... I used to have these bird feeders that were really near trees, and all the sparrows, all the birds would line up in the trees to wait to get to the bird feeder. And I'd have like 60 birds out there.
Right.
I was like, wow, you know, it was a big poop cleanup, but it was worth it to see all the birds.
Right.
Anyway, one day this hawk just came out of the sky and just took one of those birds, boom, right out of the tree. And instead of going, oh my God, we're going to get taken, you know, in 5 minutes, the birds were all back singing again and being really happy. And what a lot of people tend to do, and I used to do it before I got to Access, is to focus on the past, focus on what's negative, and then become totally hypervigilant. You know, when's the next shoe going to drop? Okay, what bad thing is going to happen to me now? Okay,
right.
You know, and it's like
yeah.
people don't trust themselves to have enough awareness to step out of the way if the freight train is coming straight at them. So, I mean, one of the things that keeps people in the survival mode is total hypervigilance, you know, constantly checking everything out, because then if you're doing that, you can't actually be aware and creative and generative all you can do is sort of maintain your position. It's almost like you have your little square on the earth, you know, and nobody's going to get into that square.
Right.
But you're not going to step to the left or the right. Or, no, I got my square. I got my square. I'm okay.
That is so cool. Hey, let's explore more after the break, and
okay.
Let's take a little break, and then what else is possible with Thrival?
Cool.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Dane here, and I would like to invite you to an adventure in being. I've just written and finished a new book known as Being You, Changing the World. Are you one of those dreamers? One of those people who's always known that other possibilities should be available but haven't yet been able to see them be created? Well, I wrote this book for you. In it, you'll find tools, processes, and unique perspectives to change the things you've always wanted to change but didn't know how. In it, you'll find an invitation to a different possibility for a way that we can be in this world that changes not only our lives, but by being us, allows us to contribute to changing everything planet-wide that doesn't work. Are you aware that truly great people, truly being them, is the only thing that has ever created a great change on this planet? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be one? Check out a copy of my new book, Being You, Changing the World. I invite you to go to beingyoubook.com for a free gift.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness, the BARS. The BARS is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The BARS is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a BARS session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a BARS class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
When you're pondering the big questions like, is there more than this? How can I have a happy relationship? What would it take to like my body? And how do I make more money? Where do you go for information and tools? Check out the online store at accessconsciousness.com. Accessconsciousness.com has books, DVDs, instant video and audio downloads, online classes, and so much more. Subjects include abuse, changing your body, recovery, raising children, business techniques, tools to generate more money, how to have better sex and healthier relationships, just to name a few. At accessconsciousness.com, you can also find facilitators who teach local classes on a variety of subjects. Accessconsciousness.com, your one-stop shop for tools to assist you in changing your life. All of life comes to us with ease, joy, and glory. Go to accessconsciousness.com to learn more.
This is the home of the top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success drivers. The Voice America Empowerment Channel.
You are listening to The Value of Controversy. We invite you to participate in our program today. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to radio@thevalueofcontroversy.com. Now, back to The Value of Controversy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Value of Controversy. My name is Susana Mitamaya, and I'm here with my super co-host, Anne Maxwell and Marilyn Bradford. And our topic today is out of survival and thrival. I just changed it because I didn't remember what the topic was. I just something about survival and something about thrival. I'm really, really fried right now. I'm in Rome and I just, you know, went to a 5-day class and my brain is fried. My body is happy. And what can we contribute to you guys to, you know, having a little more thrival in your life and getting out of fitting in, being normal and allowing yourself to dance in your own rhythm, allowing yourself to, you know, to step outside the box and be. And what the thing, we just talked a little bit in the break, as we usually do, and one thing that came up about survival is actually, you know, how much energy does it take for you and your body to constantly stay in the survival mode? How much energy are you using against you to fit in and to make sure that you're just getting by? Just, you know, get that energy. Just go scan through your life right now and ask your body and just get the energy. How much energy are you actually using to just survive and get by? And what, now ask this question. So what if you would change just 10% of that? You know, just ask your body right now. If you would change 10% of that and use 10% of that energy that you use against you right now and actually use it to move forward and create your life and allow the universe to contribute to you where you start to thrive way more, what would that choice create 10 years from now? Get that energy. Is that going to expand your life or not? And everything that doesn't allow you right now to change as much as you would like to change about that, and, you know, the energy that you use against you to use it instead to create and to thrive, can we please destroy and create all that?
Yes.
I'm Jacqueline. Thank you. Right, wrong, good, bad, pot, pock, all nine shorts, boys, and beyond.
You know, Susanna, you were mentioning fried brains. I mean, I think if we could help everybody to have fried brains, they'd have a much better chance of getting into thrival.
Yep.
Because so many people use their mind to try to figure out how to get there, but your mind can only keep you in survival.
Yes. And it's really cool to have a fried brain, I can tell you. You know, maybe you guys wonder what is a fried brain. You know, you can have all kinds of visuals right now. a fried brain is basically where you're so at ease with your being and your body that, you know, thinking is just way too much work. It's like, don't even go there, don't even bother. And it's not even required because You open that door to knowing, and I have an example, and I have no idea if I already mentioned that on a show. Anyway, I can tell it again. I was on a 7-day class in anywhere in the world. Yes, Australia. And so after 7 days of Access Consciousness, your brain gets totally fried. You know, there's like no thoughts in your head. You're just totally at ease and peace. Everything, and you're like, yeah, whatever, you know, everything is cool. And like basically you're being this all of life comes to you with ease and joy and glory embodied. And here I was, you know, traveling out of the country, and I was supposed to fill in a form that was asking me for my name, and I could remember my name. That was totally awesome. Great. And then there were some other details which I could find in my passport. And then at the end, I should fill in the date. So the date, I never know, so I just, you know, ask my iBrain, hello, iBrain, what date do we have? So I got the day, I got the month, year, and I'm like, okay, wow. I, you know, year, what do these people call the year we're in? And I you know, I remember, like, I could go up to a person, ask, hey, excuse me, sir, what year do we have? And I'm like, yep, that would be a possibility, but nope, not choosing that one because, you know, I'm not doing that to myself. So I'm like, hey, universe, not having a bright moment here right now. Can you please help me out? So I ask, what do these people call this year? What year is it? And I got this number in my head that was 2010. Yet I could not verify whether that was right or wrong. I could not chronologically go, well, before we had 2009 and then we have 2011, but it was so light. I just knew it was correct. There was no doubt about it. And that is when I got the difference between thinking and knowing, because I could have figured it out what it was, like, oh, you know, chronologically, blah, blah, blah. And I couldn't go there. Like, thinking was too much work. I just couldn't do it to myself anymore. So I basically just received the knowing, which was so light and beyond any doubt. And I just knew. And like all of you guys listening, how many times have you had a moment where you just knew? It was just correct. It felt so light and there was no doubt about it. This is knowing. This is when you go and just trust yourself. And I don't remember why we even talk about knowing. Where were we actually? You know, we talk about survival.
We were talking about
I totally
driving,
lost the...
Right?
Knowing. Sorry? You were surviving, because survival, when you have to have your brain and figure it out.
Right.
Which,
that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, that keeps you in survival.
Exactly. And that's so cool when you know, when you're not in your mind and your head anymore. Thank you, Marilyn, because I'm like, where was I going with that? See, you ask and you receive. There's always a Marilyn that helps you out.
2010, Susanna.
Right?
Thank you, Marilyn. And by the way, guys, it was correct because it was 2010. I just, you know,
cool.
Like, oh, no, it's 2013. No, it was 2010.
So survival or thrival has a real lightness where you,
yes,
you're out of your mind. It's like when I ran the bars of a little boy who was 9, whose life had just turned upside down. And he just had that monkey mind going, squirrel cage, stuff going on all the time. He just felt wrong and bad and for everything that was happening, that was going on in his life. And after I finished running his bars, I said to him, so how are you? How are you doing? And he said, I think my mind is blank, right? Like, what a gift, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so for people out there who are listening, who may find their minds a little fried, it might be an awesome idea to get your bars run.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's a foreign concept, or there, you can go onto the Access website and click onto a state and find an area. And there are bars facilitators all over in any country that you happen to be in, and you can find somebody to call or to get your bars run. Or if you've been doing it for a while, this may just be like a reminder. Oh, I could get my bars run, right?
Yeah, and what is that? What is the bars, Anne? It's just, you know,
so the
for
bars
people
are,
have no idea.
So one of the one of the things that happens with all these beliefs and all these constrictions and these automatic pilot systems that we have in place and these ways that we hold all this stuff in our body, one of the things that happens is it creates density, right? And we talk about the lightness of thrival. Well, there's a density in survival. And there's a density in your body and a density in your head so that you can't think straight. You have no clarity. Everything seems hopeless. You can't, you just like sludge. You can't move, like that kind of density, both physical and mental. And what happens when you have your bars run is somebody applies gentle pressure on your head to 32 different points, which represent the bars. And what happens after you've had your bars run is all of a sudden you have space where there was no space before. And there's space in your body and there's space in your head, like so much space that you may not even have any thoughts at all, which is awesome. But having your bars run creates space for you so that you can function in a completely different way than you could actually like an hour before you had your bars run, right?
Yeah, it's really, really cool. And you can do it right now, actually. You know, usually you get it run by somebody else because it's way more, you know, stronger when somebody else runs it on you, but do it yourself. Just, you know, find your ear. I hope everybody can find their ear. And behind the ear, you have a little thing that's
a little ridge. Yeah.
The ridge. And behind the ridge, there's a little valley, and there lives the implant band. And you can put 3 fingers in the implant band and just not press, you know, don't torture yourself. Just really lightly put your 3 fingers there and just hold them there. And do that for a couple of minutes. You can lie down and just, you know, use pillows, make it really comfortable for you, and just hold your fingers there. And what that does, it really, like Anne says, it dissipates all the electrical charge, all the thoughts, feelings, and the big elephants, limitations you've put in front of you, and just dissipates that charge. And if you have somebody who can do it for you, that's even greater. Just ask somebody to hold their 3 fingers there, and then you can do it for them. And it's really, really great. And it's just one point of the bars. There's 32 of them, and it's really, really great to get your bars run.
And the spot that Susanna was talking about is the implant band, which is actually where all the stuff that we've been talking about, a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about gets stored, right? But it's all the points of view and all the beliefs and the shoulds and the haftas and the musts and the can'ts and the can-nevers and all that. That's where it
all. Well, and everything that is implanted. I mean, literally, you know, when you're an infant, you don't have blame and shame and guilt and all of that kind of stuff. But as you grow up, it's like your parents and the culture, they put this stuff into you. You know, like, you feel bad. It's like, oh, okay, now I know it was your fault. Now I know what blame is, you know. And the implant, you know, running the implant band helps to let that stuff go because it isn't yours in the first place. Why keep it around somebody else's garbage?
Yeah.
Cool.
Exactly. Yeah. So let's run that process again. Now, you know, maybe you can run your implant or have it run at the same time. And it really is a super meant to having services that we are running at the same time, also afterwards running, you know, getting your bars run or running your own bars, always better to have somebody else run them. And it's really, really great to just also have that ease in your body while you're processing a lot of that stuff that we're talking about. So what bastardization of total thrival are you using to create the survival you're choosing?
Woo-hoo!
And everything that is. Yes.
Can we destroy and create it?
Yes.
Right. Five shorts, boys and beyond.
Cool.
So you can start clearing, you know, shut down and use it on yourself, record it and use it. And the more you use it, the more ease you're going to have with thrival, getting out of survival and moving into thrival and platform for you in your life where you no longer bother about, you know, do this right. How can I avoid this doing this wrong and going, and what joy can this be to me? What source of joy is in that to me? Cool. So is there anything you guys come up with as...
Hey, I think we lost you. There she is. Okay. So anything that any of us have come up with that we can add to what we've already spoken about?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what if survival isn't hard work? What if it could be so easy? What if it actually is easy? What if it's all about tapping into what you know to be true for you and giving yourself permission to be that and to have that in your life, regardless of what anybody else says? And as examples of that, if there are people in your life that are adults who have that, awesome on you. And if there aren't, you can watch animals and birds and little kids and babies and... like that, just to get a sense of like what we're talking about, right?
Cool. Awesome. That is so cool. So, guys, keep on thriving. Have fun. Thank you so much, Anne and Marilyn, for this amazing show. And, guys, you can join us on Facebook, The Value of Controversy. Ask your questions. Let us know what you would like to talk about. And join it again next Tuesday on The Value of Controversy at 12 Pacific. Have a great time. Have a great week. Bye, everybody.
Hey. Thank you for listening to The Value of Controversy. What questions did we create for you today? Write in and tell us. Please join us again next Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about us, please visit our website at thevalueofcontroversy.com. Until our next show, be controversial and have a great week.